very simple lesson here. We're going to read some passages of Scripture from the Bible, and we're going to cover this, but the need for Christians to mature. As Ray mentioned in his prayer, there's some people are just lazy, and they just really don't seem to care about learning about God. And there's many people in this world who don't care to learn about God because they're making it just fine, or so they think. And so there is a need for maturity, and Christians are to mature. That's what they're supposed to do. And in all aspects, we're supposed to mature unto Christ, into Christ, to be like Christ, to be accepted of Christ. So as we look at this, one of the many commands given to the Christian is that they are to grow. You know, 2 Peter 3:18, grow in the grace and knowledge of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. To him be the glory forever and ever. Amen. And we are told to work out our salvation. Philippians 2 and verse 12, so then, my beloved, just as you have always obeyed, not as in my presence only, but now much more in my absence, work out your salvation with fear and trembling. And so, we also must prove ourselves to be innocent. Now, Philippians 2, 14 through 16 says, do all things without grumbling or disputing, that you may prove yourselves to be blameless and innocent children of God, above reproach in the midst of a crooked and perverse generation, among whom you appear as lights in the world, holding fast to the word of life, so that in the day of Christ I may have cause to glory, because I did not run in vain nor toil in vain. So yeah, as Christians, we're supposed to behave ourselves and demonstrate to the rest of the world the light of Jesus. You know, we sang the song, let the beauty of Jesus be seen in me. And that's how we need to live our lives. We need people to look at us and see goodness. I mean, whether they associate us with Christ, they need to see goodness. Then they ask, why are you so good? Well, because I follow my Lord and Master. I mean, that's the answer we can give them. We are supposed to grow in spiritual maturity, and we do this by study. You know, 2 Timothy 2:15. Be diligent to present yourselves approved to God, a workman who needeth not be ashamed, but handling aright the word of truth. And so, yes, we need to study. We need to know what's in the Scriptures and do those things. All right. And we're supposed to grow up in all aspects into Him. When we go to Ephesians chapter 4, beginning verse 12, says, And verse 11, and he gave some as apostles, some as prophets, some as evangelists, and some as pastors and teachers, for the equipping of the saints, for the work of service, to the building up of the body of Christ, until we all attain to the unity of the faith and of the knowledge of the Son of God, to a mature man, to the measure of the stature which belongs to the fullness of Christ. As a result, we are no longer to be children tossed here and there by waves and carried about by every wind of doctrine, by the trickery of men, by craftiness and deceitful scheming. But speaking the truth in love, we are to grow up in all aspects unto Him who is the head, even Christ, from whom the whole body, being fitted and held together by that which every joint supplies, according to the proper working of each individual part, causes the growth of the body for the building up of itself in love. So that's what we're supposed to do. And in chapter 5, verses 8 through 11, says, for you were formerly darkness, but now you are light in the Lord. Walk as children of light. For the fruit of the light consists in all goodness and righteousness and truth, trying to learn what is pleasing to the Lord. And do not participate in the unfruitful deeds of darkness, but even expose them. So that's what we're supposed to be doing. And it doesn't, like I say, it's not hard to understand. And so we understand that the flesh is not spiritual. I mean, there is a distinction. The scriptures make a distinction. You know, the spirit is willing, but the flesh is weak. I mean, that's sometimes you reverse that. The flesh is willing, but the spirit is weak. And so there is a difference. In Galatians 5, he talks about the war between the spirit and the flesh, beginning in verse 16 of Galatians 5. And there's a battle taking place. Paul talked about this battle to the Romans. He says, you know what? Sometimes I do what I know I shouldn't be doing, and it's my body doing it, and I don't want to do it, but I do it anyway. And so that's why we need assistance from God to overcome the weakness of the flesh. And so we must put away the evil and fleshly things that are out there. And so Colossians 3, 5 through 9. Said, therefore, consider the members of your earthly body as dead to immorality, impurity, passion, evil desire, and greed, which amounts to idolatry. For it is on account of these things that the wrath of God will come, and in them you also once walked when you were living in them. But now you also put them all aside: anger, wrath, malice, slander, abuse of speech from your mouth. Do not lie to one another, since you laid aside the old self with its evil practices. And so we also know we need to add to our faith. You know, Colossians 3, here's what we're supposed to add, beginning verse 12. And so, as those who have been chosen of God, holy and beloved, put on a heart of compassion, kindness, humility, gentleness, patience, bearing with one another, and forgiving each other. And whoever has a complaint against anyone, just as the Lord forgave you, so also should you. And beyond all these things, put on love, which is the perfect bond of unity. And then, so adding to our faith, we're familiar with the passage there in 2 Peter 1, in verses 5 through 12. All right. Now, for this very reason also, applying all diligence in your faith, supply moral excellence, and your moral excellence, knowledge. And in your knowledge, self-control. In your self-control, perseverance. And in your perseverance, godliness. And in your godliness, brotherly kindness. And in your brotherly kindness, love. For if these qualities are yours and are increasing, they render you neither useless nor unfruitful in the true knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ. For he who lacks these qualities is blind or short-sighted, having forgotten his purification from his former sins. Therefore, brethren, be all the more diligent to make certain about his calling and choosing you. For as long as you practice these things, you will never stumble. For in this way, the entrance into the eternal kingdom of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ will be abundantly supplied to you. All right, so therefore, I shall always be ready to remind you of these things, even though you already know them and have been established in the truth which is present with you. All right, so that's pretty much easy enough to understand. We need to press on towards maturity. And we can go to Hebrews chapter 6 and verse 1. It says, therefore, leaving the elementary teaching about the Christ, let us press on to maturity and not laying again a foundation of repentance from dead works and the faith towards God. Then we jump down to verse 9 through 12. But, beloved, we are convinced of better things concerning you and things that accompany salvation, though we are speaking in this way. For God is not unjust so as to forget your work and the love which you have shown toward his name in having ministered and is still ministering to the saints. And we desire that each one of you show the same diligence so as to realize the full assurance of hope until the end, that you may not be sluggish, but imitators of those who through faith and patience inherit the promises. All right, so growing in the grace of God is commanded. We know that, and it is our responsibility to learn what is pleasing to God and to do it. I mean, it should be simple enough to figure out, but a lot of people don't, and that's really sad. And so doing God's will should be a top priority for all of us as Christians, and it should be for our brethren, but it doesn't always turn out that way. And so we just need to continue to encourage them. And our job, like I said, assisting each other to do this will help each other get to heaven. That's what our job is, to help each other get to heaven. So it's just a very simple lesson. I can say it can be almost too simple and yet so easily misunderstood by people who don't want to know the message. All right, that's it. We're going to sing an invitation song. If anyone needs to respond, we invite you to come while we stand and sing.